You're listening to the Youth Critic Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at DecibelUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at DecibelUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
Let me tell you something. A driver don't pick the car. Car pick the driver. It's a mystical bond between man and machine. It's a mystical bond between man and machine.
Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. I am your host, Kale Smith. Joining me on this very special episode is Patrick Campbell.
Hello, everyone. It's nice to be here.
And today we are going to be doing a non-spoiler early-ish review of Bumblebee, the new Transformers movie, or also known as Transformers 6, also known as Transformers, the new old. Going back to the past.
Let's just say it's the only Transformers movie that exists. That would be a much better starting point.
Yes.
At least outside of the live action stuff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, and we are going to keep this non-spoiler because Patrick and I are doing this roughly a week before you guys get to see the movie. And we just kind of need... So... We think it's just only fair if we don't, like, spoil major plot points. We'll just talk about... The only thing we'll do is we might say a minor plot point or two just because it was in the trailer, but we're going to try and keep it, you know, as spoiler-free as possible.
There's one thing I do want to bring up that I don't know if it's necessarily considered a spoiler, but we'll kind of get to it later. And there is just one thing that I do definitely have thoughts about.
All right. When we get there, we'll cross that bridge. So, Patrick, starting with you, I actually wanted to ask you this because I don't think we ever did a Transformers podcast. Even when The Last Knight came out, I don't think we ever did it.
I mean, everyone knows, I think, if you've followed me long enough, how I feel about The Last Knight. And that is not great, Bob. Not great. I don't know if you guys have, if anyone follows me on any form of social media, the night that we actually went to the screening for that movie, there's a picture of myself, Harry Nimeroff, and John Rocha, and we were all waiting at the Universal IMAX out in California, and we're waiting to go in, and Rocha's got this big smile on his face because it's like a new Transformers movie, and I'm just like downing alcohol, and Perry has a beer too, and we're just sitting there, and dude, when I walked out of that movie, I felt like I had just been beat over the head for 2 hours. It was loud and obnoxious. And I was a fan of the series, at least of the first one. And I have things in the second and the third that I like that they're not like great movies, but there's some enjoyment to be had. But boy, they were never the Transformers movies that I kind of wanted. And I'm pretty upset about it, the fact that the series has gone the way that it has until now. I mean, Michael Bay being the person that controlled everything was a huge misstep. And it's just like, I'm glad that Bumblebee is the movie that we got, because it feels like it was a series that so badly needed a brand new voice and someone who could really dig into the mythology and do something new with it while still being somewhat familiar for people. But it was more than time at this point for us to do something, anything different at this point.
I think that's how I feel as well, is I think it was time. I mean, way past the time for Michael Bay to like pass the baton over. Even though he still is producer of this movie, and but here's the thing about the Transformers series as a whole, and I am just exclusively talking about the live action movies, is that the first one was the breakthrough, and even beforehand, like, the reason why Transformers 2 and Transformers 3 and really all the other movies are so disappointing in my eyes is because after Bad Boys 2, where basically Michael Bay just got to blatantly just jerk off and just have a total hate fest of a psychotic hate fest, he did The Island, which is a very interesting, it's very interestingly well made. It's very, it just has a very, and it actually has a story you can follow. It felt restrained, and Transformers 1 also felt restrained and had a story you can follow and had, you know, excitement and energy, and you didn't feel like you were just involved in a giant, you know, hate orgy the whole movie. So when we cut to Transformers 2, where, you know, nothing makes any sense, but there's still some sort of a plot.
The Transformers 2 was that it was right in the middle of the writer's strike. And I think that movie, along with X-Men Origins Wolverine and G.I. Joe Retaliation, they all kind of feel the same way. They all clearly were movies that didn't get to do anything with what they would have liked to do. It's just kind of a mess. And the biggest problem with Transformers 2 is because there's really no script and they weren't able to do anything about that. It's just Michael Bay for 2.5 hours doing whatever Michael Bay wants to do. And that was the beginning of the decline of that franchise very early on.
Yeah. But the thing is, Michael Bay and Erin Kruger on Transformers 3, they had the same amount of time they had on the first one. And the first one is really good. But when you watch Transformers 3, it's almost the same exact problems as Transformers 2, where nothing makes any sense. The characters' motivations change constantly, and nothing really tracks or follows. And even action is hard to follow and track. And it's just chaos for, you know, 2.5 hours. And that's what's more disappointing about Transformers 3 is, even though Michael Bay found a new itch in 3D or a new filming style in 3D, it still feels like, you know, Bay just up to his own old antics and just like, I'm not giving a fuck anymore. I'm going to have 2.5 hours of Transformers just doing random stuff, and then they're going to blow up Chicago all to hell. And that's when I started to realize, yeah, we need to really let Michael Bay go, especially since the biggest signifier for me was at the end of 3, it just abruptly ends after Optimus Prime brutally murders Megatron by ripping his spine out with blood coming out of it, and then basically shooting his mentor Sentinel Prime in the back of the head while he's begging for life. And then, like, a minute later, it cuts to Linkin Park, Era Descent. So, I think...
It's been a while since I've seen Transformers 3, to be completely honest, so I don't remember that.
It's been, I think... Because I think I rewatched all the movies when the fourth one was coming out. So, I just remember that moment specifically and being like, oh my god. Wow. Like, Michael Bay just hated... he has no mercy for any of these villains. And then Transformers 4 is just it's just a giant advertisement. Like, that's all it is. It's just a giant product placement.
But that's all these movies have honestly been since the beginning, which is why Bumblebee is such a like nice, fresh air comparative to those movies. Here's the thing with Bumblebee. And I mean, no matter what you say about those first four movies, they were what they were. They exist. For some people, that is the only Transformers they know. But for people like me, for people, I don't know about you, but I grew up watching a lot of those old episodes of the animated series from the 80s. And then anything that kind of came its way in anytime after that, I'd like to keep up with it. You know, remember things like Beast Wars and stuff like that in the 90s. But Bumblebee is so trying hard to go back to that early 80s feel of the Transformers enough that they felt the need to even place the movie in the 80s and really take this movie back to what the basic essentially of this series overall, not just as a movie franchise, but going all the way back to the basics of the mythology of the toy line. Because at the end of the day, whether people remember it or not, this is a toy line. It was not an animated series first. It was a toy line. So a toy line that could be anything it wants to be, but it needed to be with care. And Travis Knight has decided, brilliantly so, I think, to really take what he loved about the 80s series and really try to emulate something special. And I mean, essentially, yeah, this is E.T. That's what the movie is, but with Bumblebee. And that's okay, because it works. It's really, really fun. It adds a lot of humor to the series. Not like the Michael Bay humor, but actual humor that you can laugh at. Do some of the jokes not land? Of course. Yeah, there's some moments that are maybe not necessary, but it was nice to actually like a Transformers movie for the first time in a long time. And, I mean, it's just different. It feels different. It works differently. Everything about it just oozes the kind of filmmaking that I was hoping the series could be. And as Bumblebee is the central focus of it, it really, really just takes the series to the most basic place that it can be. And that's really a good thing. We don't get a lot of the convoluted mythology and stuff that we've been beat over the head with over the last couple of movies. There's none of that. It's really just the war on Cybertron and Bumblebee escaping and getting to Earth and going into hiding, and then Decepticons coming to find him. That's really the movie. And it's a really nice change of pace.
Yeah. So here are my thoughts. Here's my thoughts on Bumblebee. For everyone out there, if you really wanted a pure just change of speed, direction-wise, Bumblebee is. Like, I mean, there's not, you know, leering shots of, you know, beer cans or leering shots of Haley Steinfeld's ass or anyone's ass. And the action is actually easy to follow because Travis Knight does a brilliant thing where to have every robot have distinct colors. So now you can follow these characters, you know, you can track like what's happening. And before every action scene, you get to basically have moments where you can kind of, you know, you can kind of, you know, look at each robot and kind of memorize what colors they have. So when the action happens and it's intense and it's fast and it's, you know, cutting and or super cutting, you can still tell what's going on, who's fighting who. And that's what works in Bumblebee, is it feels restrained, but it also feels like it has a sense of direction. Whereas I feel like before it never did. Or at least after two, it never did.
Wasn't it nice to actually be able to see what was going on and actually seeing all the action?
Yeah. Like,
what a nice change of pace.
But the thing is, Patrick, we get movies that do that already.
For this series. It's a nice change of pace. Again, here's the thing. What we're talking about is there's been five of these movies
before.
The smartest thing they could have done was move as far away from the Michael Bay treatment as possible, and they did. They truly did in almost every respect that they could. it doesn't feel like a Michael Bay movie. It doesn't look like a Michael Bay movie. It none of that is there. I actually cared about the human character that we had at the center of this, unlike Sam. Like, everything about this actually felt real, and it worked. And that was a nice change of pace.
Yeah. So, getting into all that, I think the direction's really well done. But, however, when you break it down, you said this movie is essentially E.T. This is basically Travis Knight's remake of E.T. As in the sense of Michael, as in the sense the first Transformers is basically Michael Bay's remake of E.T. Because
yeah, one of these is better at doing that than the other, though.
Oh, of course.
Sorry, Mike.
Oh, of course. And look, I don't want to hate. I don't want to like hate talk Michael Bay the whole episode. But it's kind of hard to realize because I think Michael Bay does in his own way. Like, he is the person that started this whole thing, and he actually did a really good job on the first movie. Not as good as this, but I think he still did an incredible job of getting everything going, keeping, while also in that first one, still keeping the mystique of the Transformers. Because
that first movie is still so good. It's not great, but it's good. And I think that's what is so frustrating, is that the rest of the series, the whole series ended up being defined by the others because they got more and more Michael Bay-esque as it went along. As the studio gave him more money, it let him do more of what he did best. I used to make jokes all the time on the old podcast about the fact that it felt like every time Michael Bay was like, nah, I'm not doing another one. And then Paramount was like, look, here's $200 million. You can shoot it in your backyard, do whatever you want, and we will give you the money to make your small movie. And he was like, done.
Here's
to get all the explosions in my backyard.
Here's $210 million. Go blow up half of China.
Yeah, but I mean, it didn't even look like China at that point. I mean, it did, but I mean, there's so much frustration around how Transformers 4 handled the China situation for me. And it just... Oh, God.
It feels like an attached subplot. Like, oh, shit, the movie didn't end. We now got to go to China.
I just really don't like Transformers 4. I really don't. And that's why I really don't want to keep focusing on that stuff. I feel bad because I don't want people to think that I'm bashing on the movies that they like. If you like those movies, good, great. I'm happy for you. I know people personally who do like those movies, and that's fine. I am not that person. That is just not who I am. And I actually genuinely like a lot of Michael Bay's movies. I am a diehard defender of The Rock and Bad Boys and Bad Boys 2, and I really like The Island. So this isn't anything against Michael Bay so much as it is I just don't like his Transformers movies all that much outside of the first one.
Yeah.
And this gave us 13 hours not that long ago, and that was a really good movie.
Yeah, I should clarify. When I meant, you know, earlier that he gave us like the hate fest orgy of Bad Boys 2, I wasn't saying the movie was bad. Like, clearly the movie is working on its own level, and you're either with it or you're not. So, and that's how a lot of Michael Bay movies are, is if you're working on its level, then good. If you're not, well, you might as well pause and go, or stop and go on to the next thing. But just kind of continue on the conversation about Bumblebee is that I feel like Bumblebee is a good starting point. However, on its own, I feel like we need to do more movies. We need to keep trying different things in order to kind of keep the franchise going, because every time we need to reboot and we go to the, let's start with Bumblebee getting, you know, possessed by a teenager who needs a car. I feel like we're just going to keep remaking the next one every time, you know, we go down a rabbit hole and it gets worse and worse. So I feel like if we do a Bumblebee 2 or do another spinoff, we need to do something really different.
So the problem we have now with the franchise is that we're kind of where the X-Men franchise was a few years ago after X-Men 3. and X-Men Origins, where we had a couple of bad movies that really derailed the franchise. So they decided that they need to go back to the very beginning and reboot it. So we got X-Men First Class, and First Class was great. Just like Bumblebee is actually really good, really, really good, close to great. The problem from here now is that much like First Class, where First Class was trying to be like a full reboot without tying too much to the original, like the timeline was all kind of messed up, and they kind of did that here. And that's going to end up being the biggest problem with the franchise moving forward, because I don't think you're wrong. I do think we need to do other things. I think the biggest problem, though, is I'm not really sure what direction you go, because you can tell that they were trying to reboot the franchise, but also not alienate people who were already fans of the series. So they tried hard not to also be like, well, that stuff doesn't necessarily not happen. So it never fully commits to one or the other. And that's slightly problematic for the film. There's one thing in particular, and this is the kind of spoilery thing that I wanted to bring up, and it's not necessarily so much a spoiler as there's one character who pops up for less than 3 seconds in the movie, and it's a nod to the first series, and it's a really unnecessary addition to the movie, and I think that moment is the thing that holds the movie back, because said character is a character that I would say most people probably agree is not a fan favorite in the franchise. And so the fact that they decided that he had to have a small role in the film, even if it's not the same actor, but the same character, all for the throwaway of, hey, look, it's him, is kind of frustrating, because that now ties this back to the Michael Bay movies more than it really needed to, if that makes sense.
I'm trying to remember the character, but...
So I can basically it Sector 7 is in the movie. And if right. You know the Transformers films up till this point, the Sector 7 has always kind of been a thing within the franchise. And in those movies, there is a character who is not that beloved. He was great in the first film, but after that, he became not so much, and that's John Turturro as Agent Simmons. Simmons has a small scene in the movie that he brings some information to John Cena's character, and he calls him by name and everything, and then you happen to notice, if you watch it's like any other scenes in the movie that they're there, he's there, but they've cut his scenes down. It feels like they tried really hard to not have him in the movie, but they still had him, and the guy
for that important moment.
Yeah, and they definitely have a guy who looks just like John Turturro but younger, so that's clearly what the setup is supposed to be, but it's really frustrating because I wish they hadn't done
it. Here's the thing about this franchise. Here's the thing I'll say about this, or I guess Bumblebee is to say, is it could go either way. And you are right about the X-Men comparison, because I actually would argue that X-Men First Class could have gone either way in whatever they wanted, whatever Matthew Vaughn and Jane Goodman had in mind to do. Or is it Goodman or Goldman?
Goldman.
Okay. Whatever they wanted to do with X-Men afterwards, they could have done like full. We're just doing a new series, or just new cast, everything. Or they could do what Bryan Singer did, which was Days of Future Past. And then continue everything on forward.
The problem is that Days of Future Past is really, really good also, and feels like a really great finale for the series. I just wish the movie had actually, like, I just wish the franchise had stopped at that point, because Apocalypse is so bad. And now look at where we are. Like, I would have been cool if you had followed up Days of Future Past with Logan.
Right.
Totally been fine. Well, and that's the thing with Transformers is, what are you going to do? Do you want to do the same sort of thing where, hey, we botched the timeline, so let's do time travel with these characters and then, like, set the new path for all these new people? I just don't. My problem is I really like Bumblebee, and I'm just not sure where you go from here.
And that's kind of my thing, too is that Bumblebee's in an even more weirder spot, because at least when they did Days of Future Past, there was, and I think you would remember this too, the ending of Days of Future Past opened to new possibilities. It opened to new ideas. It opened to new stories. Unfortunately, Apocalypse went backwards, where, you know, where the first two movies were a bunch of one step forwards. Apocalypse just did a massive two or three steps backwards. But the thing with Bumblebee is, you're right, there's nowhere really to go, because especially how it ends, like, Bumblebee is very, the story itself is very much a one-off. I mean, you can probably make a Bumblebee 2 if this was a hit, but arguably I would say it's best to concentrate on other characters. However, the problem with other characters in this franchise is that there's not that many other prominent characters to do, because the franchise is only focused on Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, and Megatron.
Yeah, and like, we definitely don't need an Optimus Prime movie right now. We can get one down the line, but I'd argue that the series to this point has been an Optimus Prime movie. So it's all a matter of, do you want a movie about the Decepticons? No, not really. We've already been there too. Like, we've done to death the Decepticon storylines with Megatron, at least for now. And there's plenty of comics and stuff to draw from. I would have, I'm still hopeful. They've been talking about, they're trying to do a full movie about the War on Cybertron. And that is a movie I would be very, very interested to see come to light. Because for the first time, the War on Cybertron was really, really cool in this movie.
And like, it actually looked good.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. So why not do something more like that? I would love a full, like, Transformers War film of all of them on Cybertron, dealing with the them trying to, you know, defeat the Decepticons as they're trying to grow the planet and what leads to the destruction of it. That's the movie I would like to watch.
I think so too. The problem is, after, because first of all, we don't know how much Bumblebee will make in its opening weekend. It's very crowded. Unfortunately,
there's going to be a lot of cannibalization between the whole group of those movies that are coming out.
Yeah. So I will say this, if Bumblebee's a hit, I think that is in the, I think that's in the cards, because the only way that movie gets made is if it can be made the same way the new Lion King movie is made, where it's all animation, but it's, you know, photographically realistic. So, and you and I both know that will probably cost a lot of money to do. So I think that is the only way to go, because you're right, we don't really need another, we don't need a Megatron spinoff, and even that would be its own weird thing. Because it'd be such a massive departure. And then you're right, we kind of been following Optimus Prime throughout all the sequels. So, and really his whole trajectory through the sequels have been, he's just gotten more and more psychotic as each movie has gone on. And
yeah, don't even get me started on that stuff. I thought that they used Optimus in very sparingly and well in this movie, by the way.
Oh yeah. And also he looks fantastic in his old, you know, retro form. And that's kind of
one I really, really loved about this movie, seeing all those G1 costume, or not costumes, but looks of all the characters. I mean, you had Bumblebee down to actually being a VW Bug. That was such a nice change of pace.
It was.
Like, everything about this movie feels like a nice change of pace from what we're used to. My only worry is what do you do next? Because if you get Travis Knight to come back, I would love to see him do another Bumblebee, but my worry becomes, what can you do with that character more, you know, at least by himself? Especially now that Optimus and the rest of them, they have to come back at some point. You know, we're going to have to do a Transformer story down the line. It's just a matter of how they're going to end up doing it.
And also, we got to, and also, I mean, the only, the only known antagonist to Optimus is the Decepticons and Megatron and Starscream. So, what else? That's kind of my problem with the Transformers series going forward is no matter how, who you get to direct, even if you did essentially, even if we want to consider this Bumblebee movie like a massive restart, how do we go forward without telling the same story? How do we go? That's what I'm kind of getting at is how do we not keep saying, doing the same stories over and over. And I feel like with Transformers, like Bumblebee was a nice change of pace, but what else can we do? And that's where I'm getting, and that's what I'm getting at is I don't know what else we can do. So even if this was a nice change of pace.
Yeah. And that's where I am. I'm just happy that the movie worked. I was just happy to actually get a good Transformers movie. I liked actually seeing the Transformers action. I thought the cast was really good. John Cena is a walking meme at this point, and I thought it was kind of nice that they just played to that strength, and they were like, hey, he thinks everything in the movie is ridiculous, because the audience probably thinks that a lot of the movie is ridiculous, so use him as that catalyst. It was smart. It was a very smart casting for that character, and I really liked Hailee Steinfeld a lot in the movie. I thought she was a lot of fun. First time, like I said, in a long time that I felt like I actually cared about a single human character in this series.
Yeah, and I really, and Hailee Steinfeld, for me, she gives the best performance. It is a great performance because it's a character that could really be underwritten very quickly because she's just the girl with a tragic, backstory that lost her dad. But she plays that character so well. She plays to the strengths of the grunginess of that character. She plays like she feels like a character from the 80s that's also dealing with that's still reeling from her father's death. Like she feels like a natural character.
That was a real character for once, by the way, too. Like you nailed that. That whole thing with her and her dad is such a great story arc that's actually done really nicely within the confines of this film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like she nailed it, and I feel like, and I don't remember her other, like, the other character's name, but it's the guy from Love, Simon. I'm gonna have to look this up. But
her neighbor, the one that works at the fair with her,
yes,
for the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk. Yeah, he was really good. Let me look. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but I really still have yet to see Love, Simon, unfortunately. So this was kind of my first introduction to him, and I thought he was actually really, really fun in the movie, and he added a great. Their chemistry was really fun, and it was actually fun to watch them together, and it was just a nice change of pace. Again, that's kind of this whole movie, and I keep saying it because it's true. Everything about this movie feels like a nice change of pace from everything that I'm so used to the series being at this point. That's all I can say, like, as far as that goes. It was just kind of nice.
Mimo is the name of the character. The actor is
Jorge Lindborg Jr.
Yeah, and I thought he did a really good job. I thought his comedic timing was really good, and you're right. I thought the chemistry was very good. So now that we keep kind of overstating our positives here. And you mentioned a negative. The biggest negative for me is, story-wise, on its own, is I feel like it's a little too on the nose in how the military is just so easily decepted by the Decepticons. And yes, they make an in joke about it, but still, it's like they're still doing the same thing.
To be fair, it doesn't really surprise at all, because when I think about the stuff going on in the real world and the fact that so many people in this country were apparently able to someone like our current president, nothing shocks me anymore. So the fact that
people would give in
to the bad guys in the movie doesn't surprise me.
I guess I shouldn't be, but it's like, it's a little too easy.
It's a little too easy, but it's also a Transformers movie. I'm not asking it to be more than that at this point, for better or worse. I mean, maybe I should be expecting more, but I didn't mind it because they did play it so on the nose and made jokes about it. Like I said, Cena is basically a walking meme about the situation, and it works in its favor for that reason.
Yeah. I just found it really... I just found it completely just like... Because that's, for me, I think the biggest problem of Bumblebee is that everything outside of the Bumblebee and Haley Steinfeld's relationship, it kind of all just go, it's not really that interesting, nor is it really that compelling. And I know that's, you know, essentially the main plot of the movie, but that for me just wasn't that interesting. Whereas everything else with, you know, Steinfeld and Bumblebee all worked with,
have the military characters in this series really ever been that interesting at this point? I mean, Josh Duhamel character was fine in the first movie, but after that, I mean, he didn't have anything else to do either, and they kept bringing him back, and it never felt warranted. So it just feels kind of like more of the same, unfortunately.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I go with Bumblebee, is that it's a nice change of pace, but there's a lot of the same things in here. The only difference is it's written and directed by someone not named Michael Bay.
Yeah, but that's still already as far as this series concerns, makes it better, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, is that it's a nice, it isn't, Bumblebee, if I had to write a headline for my review, it would be a nice change of pace, but same old stuff.
And I guess that's fair. I don't necessarily think it was the same old stuff. I think that it definitely tries to be different and do something new, but at the end of the day, it works as it does, and I think that people are either really going to like this movie or they're not, as weird as that might sound. But I'm looking forward to seeing what's next. As long as they can bring Travis Knight back, or someone who can do what Travis Knight has done with it up till this point, I think the series is in pretty safe hands.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed. I mean, again, we had this, if you remember, a few years ago, we had this whole writer's room of people that were coming up with Transformer stories. Whatever happened to all those Transformer stories? And are any of them worth anything to be? Or was Bumblebee the only one that's a surefire, like, yes?
I guess it really ends up being just dependent on what comes next.
And that's what will be interesting, is what we do, what happens next. So, yes, I love Bumblebee, but again, I actually really did like it. Like, I was very much entertained. I loved everything with Bumblebee. He's cute. I even liked Dylan O'Brien voicing him at certain points in the movie. I thought that was really good, and I feel like that it was a really, really good origin story, because that's essentially what Bumblebee also is. It's an origin story of Bumblebee. Like, we're seeing, like, we open with the point of view of Bumblebee, who is essentially a kid in this war. We're seeing it, the war of Cybertron, through his eyes. So I liked all of that very much so, and I liked where that all went, on top of E.T. with Haley Steinfeld. and a giant robot.
Yeah, but I think it works in the end, and I think people should give it a chance, especially if you feel you're burned out on this franchise already. Go see this. I think it'll definitely change your mind. I mean, does it have problems? Yes. I think it's maybe a little bit too long. I think that the characters outside of Haley Steinfeld's character maybe aren't as interesting. But I think as a sum of its parts, it's actually a very good movie that's worth checking out.
I think so too. And I think it worked, and I think it helped. You know, and I can't wait to see what Travis Knight does, even if he goes to the galaxy.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, we'll see where that goes. Or he could go back to Laika and make another movie. Who knows?
I'd be okay with that. I mean, Kubo is amazing, and now Bumblebee is really good. The guy is very talented, so I look forward to seeing what he does next.
Yeah. So with that, Patrick, do you want to wrap up?
Yeah, sure. You can find me on Twitter at PJ_Campbell. Patrick Campbell, parentheses PJ. You can find my podcast, The PJ Campbell Show, on iTunes and on Podbean. Please head over there and subscribe. It would mean a lot to myself and my co-host, Patrick Hogue. You can also find me over writing at the Movie Trivia Schmodown website, triviasd.com, and just, you know, keep an eye on the Movie Trivia Schmodown. There's a lot of cool stuff going on over there.
Awesome. I will have links for Patrick's new podcast in the description below. Please check it out. I think, as of this recording, I think you're going to have the first episode out tonight.
It should be up. Yeah, it should be up.
All right. And... all right, well, I'll try if it's up before I finish the episode, I'll put the link in the description as well. All right, well, Patrick, thanks for coming on the show. We will touch base with you later because there's a lot of other big movies, and I think you and I fit, and you have actually seen a lot of the big movies coming out already. So
I have. I've seen almost all of them at this point, and it's a good December.
Well, that's good to hear because November was kind of weak, as you might can imagine. All right. So you can find me at Twitter at MovieKale. You can also follow the show for updates and whatnot at The Youth Critic. And then you can also follow the channel that distributes this podcast at KHC Network. Thanks, everyone. We'll be back with you. We'll actually be back with you very soon because we will probably have episodes of Andy Serkis's Mowgli, which is the new Jungle Book movie that came out on Netflix. We'll go into all that in that episode. and then we'll talk about Into the Spider-Verse in the next few days. So thanks everyone for listening. We'll be back with you very, very soon.
People out there who need you. This is why you're here, B.
You know, B, music can help you say what you're feeling.
Try this.